preach from the text of where that psalm was taken. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Psalms chapter number 18. Actually, there are two. It is from a song of David. This song is found two places in the Bible, in 2 Samuel chapter 22 and in Psalms chapter 18. In 2 Samuel chapter 22, there's a couple of deviations from Psalms 18, but most of it is just about word for word, down through there. Now, when you study Samuel with Psalms here, you find this is a song that David wrote toward the end of his life. It is one where he was saved out of the hands of Saul. You know how that Saul tried to kill him and all the things he went through? Well, where he talks about being saved from the hands of his enemy, that word hands is the same word that he uses pretty much for paws, where he was saved out of the paws of the lion, when he was saved out of the paws of the bear that he rehearsed when he was facing Goliath. And so here David's talking about how that he was saved from the paws of Saul, from the hands of Saul, also from the hands of Absalom, his son, who tried to overthrow his kingdom, and those that teamed up with him to try to take his life. Then also all the different inner battles that he fought, the wars around with the Philistines and all the others, and how he fought, and how God saved him from the hands of his enemies. And so here he's praising God for his victory. So if you'll begin reading, I want to just take a phrase of one verse, or part of one verse, but I want to read a few verses to get down to it. So if you'll follow with me in Psalms chapter number 18. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, and my horn of my salvation, and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. The sorrows of death compassed me. The floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress I called upon the Lord, and I cried unto my God, and he heard my voice out of his temple. And my cry came before him, even into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken, because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils, and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed to heavens also, and he came down, and darkness was under his feet. He rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made the darkness his secret place, his pavilion around about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. And the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed, hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. Yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them, and he shot out lightnings and discomfited them. Then the channels of waters were seen, and the foundations of the world were discovered at thy rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of thy nostrils. He sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of the many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also upright before him and kept myself from my iniquity. Therefore hath the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness. according to the cleanness of my hands in his eyesight. With the merciful with thou wilt show thyself merciful, and with an upright man will, thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure thou wilt show thyself pure. With the forward thou wilt show thyself forward. For thou wilt save the afflicted people, but will bring down high looks. For thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? And who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up. And this last little phrase is where I'm going to preach from. And thy gentleness hath made me great. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask you to be with us tonight. Help us to see a truth, Lord, that may be a help to us tonight. We love you and we need you. Lord, thank you for being gentle to us. And God, I pray that you will help us to be able to apply this in our lives. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. You know, one of the fruits of the Spirit that we don't talk about much, we talk about love, peace, and joy, and all those things. One of the fruit of the Spirit that we hardly ever talk about is God's gentleness. It's a gentleness that comes into us. You know, I don't care how rough a man is. When a man gets saved and he gets born again by the Holy Ghost of God, it ought to bring some gentleness into his life. It ought to bring a certain amount. Now, when we look here, we find that David was amazed with the power and presence of God. How that God could intervene in any way he wanted to in any situation. Sometimes we wonder why God lets such wickedness apply. Sometimes when we see cruelty happen, especially to children, we wonder why God just didn't intervene. Why he didn't just come right in the midst of it and just like he did in the Old Testament, like he did in Kor, where he just opened up the mouth of the earth and swallowed them up in hell. And sometimes you wonder why God doesn't do that. Well, it's because God has ways that's beyond our ways. God has a long suffering that is beyond our comprehension. But here David says something that's interesting. He says, thy gentleness had made me great. Tonight I want to preach about God's gentleness and man's greatness. Now I want to look at the combination because both of those seem to be counteractive. Sometimes when we think of God, we think of the wrath of God. We think of the terribleness of God and what God can do. But we forget to think about his gentleness. And when we think of man, we think, how can man be great? And we look at man, and as David reminded God, he wanted God to remember that he was nothing but dust. And you know, here, David said, when I look back at my life, he was evidently an older man now. He was looking back, recognizing the victories that God had won and that God had helped him be victorious in. And notice here that he says that God's gentleness is what got him in. God's gentleness shows the love of God. Now listen to me. What you need to understand is this. Authority will control the outside. But love will inspire the inside. You can yell and you can forcefully make somebody do something. But when your love and your gentleness is approached, then it inspires them to do it. This morning we were talking about Mother's Day. And even though we didn't preach along those lines, the thing that is so unique about mothers is the gentleness of mothers. The Bible says that a wife that has a meek spirit, and Peter said that she can win her husband without the word, just by a meek spirit. But many of us, we think of our mothers. And I know when I think of my mother, I think of the gentleness of my mother. I pushed her to the limit many times and did things, but I think how gentle she was with us. I think how forgiving she was with us, how compassionate she was with us. And so when we look at God, we understand that the gentleness of God comes because of the greatness of his love. It also is a very complex attribute that God has. As we think, we realize that God, we don't think about his being so gentle, but the Bible speaks that he is forbearing and that we ought to be forbearing. To be forbearing with men in their waywardness, in their willfulness, in their wickedness. You know, God's children sometimes, even David talked about how that he loved the Lord and he tried to keep his commandments, but there was times when David, and of course we don't have to go back very far to go to find Bathsheba, Uriah, and things that David did, things that we would think that God would never forgive David about. But through God's gentleness, he dealt with David. And how that he brought David to the place of getting things right. We see through God how that he has sympathy for those who are tempted. The Bible says that we can come to God and come to Christ as our great high priest who was tempted in all points such as we are. God has great sympathy when we're tempted. And listen, as much as we think about God, we recognize the holiness of God and we understand the wrath of God and we understand those attributes that God has. The wonderful thing about God is this: sometimes we fail. And folks, sometimes we have failed miserably. And I'm so glad that God in his anger didn't just cast us away. I'm so glad that God has gentleness, that he deals with us. Even in our suffering, he's compassionate when we suffer. And even when we are, when our sins bring sorrow, it grieves him because he loves us. The Holy Spirit within us is grieved when we sin, when we have things in our life that alienates us from God and doing things that God doesn't want us to do. It grieves the Holy Spirit of God because he loves us. When you look at this and you think about it, we find that Christ showed, the Bible says when you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father. And Jesus, he told them, they said, show us the Father. He said, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And you know, Jesus, he showed some of the great tenderness that there was and gentleness there was. But he also says some of the most harshest things. You turn to Matthew chapter 23 and find where he's talking to the scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites. See what he has to say there. See how harsh he gets. And see how that he can come and he can say things and tell truths and gets down to the bare knuckles and get down where what we call the rubber meets the road, and he gets down and he says things that's very harsh. But that's who God is. He's truth. He has all these attributes. But when you see Jesus, you see an attribute of God that you didn't know. It's hard to relate to God of the Old Testament, and the Jews had a hard time relating to Jesus because they wanted to see the brass of God. They wanted to see the judgment of God fall upon people. But you know what? Sometimes we're quick to say, boy, why don't God just judge that thing? Why don't he take care of that? But I'm sure glad he didn't act that way with me. And I'm sure glad he still don't act that way with me. You know, and David said that it was God's gentleness that made a man great. And so here, when you look and you think of the gentleness of God, you see Jesus upon the cross of Calvary. You see his compassion, his love for sinners. You see him looking out and you see him moaning. You see him weeping. And see, those were all attributes of God that Israel just did not understand. They did not understand that God had attributes that was far above our understanding. And so David makes this statement. When he gets older, he looks back and he says, Lord, he said, thy gentleness hath made me great. Now, what does he mean by being made great? Sometimes when we think of what makes men great, Everybody has different opinions. Some people think that what makes a man great is when he's a great warrior and he accomplishes great things. You know, I was listening to a widow of a sniper. Brother Jim, he wasn't here today, but Brother Jim used to be a sniper in the Army. And he tells me sometimes some stories that he went through when he was a sniper, and some shots that he had to make and issues that he had to deal with. And I was listening to a guy by the name of Chris Kyle. His widow was talking about, I think, how many kills did he have? 167, is that right? Does that sound right? And anyway, he achieved quite a few as a sniper. And I was listening, and they were talking about his greatness. Well, some people attribute greatness to a warrior. Some people attribute greatness to athletes. I know these guys, I noticed one or two of them come up here had a Curry shirt on, and some of them has a Jordan shirt on, and some of them has this shirt and that shirt, and they attribute greatness. I remember when Muhammad Ali come out, and he just kept telling everybody how great he was. And then all of a sudden, everybody began to buy into it. And I realized then that if you say something long enough, everybody just buys into it. And but you know, all those things, or maybe the artist and the ability of an artist or whatever it may be, or the ability to speak as a politician or ability to speak as something else, that is not what makes you great in God's eyes. But David said God's gentleness had made him great. What does it mean to be great? Well, God created us in his image and in his likeness. Now, some people question, what does that mean? It means, number one, that God made you an eternal soul. If you notice here, he says that he made you a living soul. You know why you're a living soul? Because the soul never dies. Even if you go to hell, the soul never dies. The soul is something that exists on forever. And when God created man in his likeness and image, he made him where he would exist forever. That's why you can't even begin, and don't ever get in this position, don't even begin to try to equate animals with children and with human beings. Don't even try to relate your pets with your children. There is a great divide between the two of them. An animal does not have a soul. It was not made in the image and likeness of God. When it dies, it does not go to doggy heaven or cat heaven. It dies. The spirit of life that God gave it returns up to God who gave it. The body just rots and goes to the ground. There is no soul to deal with in an animal, but a human being has a living soul. It never dies. Your body dies, but your soul does not. That's why when somebody tries to teach you that when you die, your soul is asleep, that is not true. The soul never sleeps. The soul is conscious in hell and is conscious in heaven. Everyone who's died is conscious wherever they are. Their soul is conscious. Their body awaits in the grave sleeping, but they do not. They are not sleeping. The evidence of Scripture teaches us that the rich man in hell lift up his eyes being in torments. He had something to say. He was aware of his environment. He remembered his past. He knew everything about him. He was not lost upon what was going on. The Bible also teaches that Abraham was able to talk to him. He was not sleeping. His soul was not sleeping. The Bible also tells us in Revelation chapter 6 that the souls that was underneath the altar was talking to God. They were not asleep up there. When the Bible says that we fall asleep, that means our body falls asleep. And it waits until the resurrection. And then the body will be called forth. But listen, the soul doesn't, because the soul was made after the image and likeness of God. And so therefore we have an eternal being within us. And so what makes us great with God? What makes us great with God is whenever we allow ourselves to begin to be molded into the image that God wants us to be. God is holy, and so the more that we try to be holy, the more that God likes us. The Bible says that the whole purpose between the time that we are saved until we die is that God wants us to be sanctified, set apart. And what he begins doing is this. He allows things to come into your life that helps conform you to the image of his Son. The whole purpose that God is doing is changing you. When a person gets saved, the events of your life, you'll find as you grow and the older you get, you'll look back and you'll realize that God was in behind the scenes conforming you and changing you. Some of you that may be going through a very dark time right now, you'll get beyond that one of these days and you'll look back and you'll realize that in that dark time, God conformed you to the image of his Son more. He used that to humble you. He used that to bring you to a place where he could use you more. And you see, if we want our children to be great, what do we want of our children? Well, if you really want to teach your children to be great in God's eyes, the first thing you ought to do is teach them to love and know who God is. If you don't do that, then you've lost the very concept of what your children. The Bible says your children are a heritage of the Lord. And so therefore, what he wants you to do is he wants you to teach them about him and to love him and to obey him. Not only that, but also he wants us to be morally and spiritually great. And so he wants us to come to the knowledge of Christ as our creator. Now, he wants us to be able to be useful. In other words, God wants you to be used to be a blessing to somebody else. We preached the other day about the church being a blessing. And what God wants is this. If you have missed the opportunity of allowing God to conform your life where you're useful to somebody else, you've missed the greatness of life. What David is saying here, he said, the gentleness of God has made me great. David was saying, listen, boy, if God had just reacted. How many of you have ever been mad at your child and they do something and you grab them and you whip them in anger? How many of you have done that? I have. Boy, I'm glad God doesn't do it that way. Because I tell you, and how many of you ever felt bad about it after you did it? And see, what happens is this. David said, Lord, it wasn't by your anger that it conformed me to make me great. It was by your gentleness. You taught me something. You could have threw me away, but it's because you were humble in the fact with your grace to allow me room to grow and make some mistakes. You know what touched the prodigal's heart? It was seeing the reaction of his father. After everything he'd done to his father and everything that he'd wasted in his life and coming back home expecting just to have to beg and hoping that his father would just let him in the door to be a servant and to see his father come running out to the field, his arms open wide, and grab him and kiss him and say, bring the best robe, bring a ring and put on his finger. And he was so impressed by the love of his father, the gentleness of his father. His father had every right to say, son, I told you so. Son, you should have listened to me to begin with. Now you wouldn't waste it. Now you just go and live and you just have to bear it. And you just have to go through hard times. You wasted what I had for you. Now you just go and you learn the hard lessons of life. But that's not what that's not what the father did. The father loved him. And through gentleness, he come. So when God deals with us, now listen to me. The Bible, Elijah was looking for God. He looked with him in the earthquake. He looked in the fire. And he looked in the whirlwind. But where Elijah found God was the small, still voice of God. And I said earlier this, if you try to rule your children just by authority, you can shape the outside, but you can't inspire the inside. The inside is inspired by your love and your gentleness. It is what will make your children great. and what made David where he was useful and where he began to have a purpose in his life and where he had purity of motive was the gentleness that God showed him in allowing him to make mistakes. You know, I had a parent a while back, got a child that just really, really needs some discipline in their life. And the mother was bragging to me about how the child never needed any discipline. And I was sitting there thinking the whole time, what a mess they were making out of this life. But you see, through discipline, God, and through correction, God, through his gentleness, does it hurt? Yes, but his gentleness, it brings us and it makes us into a person that God, the Bible says, that causes us to be great. In other words, causes us to be useful. God, through his educating us, the Bible speaks that he renews our mind, and how the Holy Spirit of God deals with us and teaches us and guides us. And so what we find is David said, listen, you know, imagine David. Now, David was a pretty brass young man. David had a heart like God. But now David was a little bit, sometimes we use the word cocky. David was a little cocky in the way he approached things. As a matter of fact, that's why his brother reproved him there when he come to Goliath, because of his attitude. And of course, David, you know, he'd faced the bear and he'd faced the lion. And the amazing thing, sometimes I hear people say, well, you know, David, he grabbed that sling and he killed that bear and he killed that lion with his sling. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says he grabbed the lion by his beard and he killed the lion. And so, I mean, David had a little arrogance about him. And he'd come in and he'd come riding in after victory. And they would say, Saul's killed his 1,000. David killed his 10,000s. And David would swell, I'm sure. But what happened in David's old age? David saw what happened with Bathsheba. And he saw with Uriah. And he saw what happened with his children, how the sword didn't depart out of his house. And he thought, boy, what a mess I made it up. But he said, I would not have been useful had God just took my life then. But God, through his gentleness, he dealt with me. As a father pitieth his children, so does the Lord pitieth us. David said, Lord, I remember that I'm dust. What is man, Lord, that thou art even mindful of him? But you see, the thing that makes us great and the thing that gets us where we're useful in life is God's gentleness. Now, I know I've heard Brother Junior's testimony. He got saved after he got shot. But you got away from the Lord for a while, didn't you, in your life? Aren't you glad that God was gentle with you and brought you back where you can be useful? I was telling Chris the other day, I don't mean to say it, and I just want to tell you while you're sitting here. I was telling her what a blessing you've been to the church. But look here, Brother Junior. Had God not been gentle with you? There was a time when you was away from him, even as a saved person, that he could have just took you out. He could have whipped you hard. He could have come down hard upon you, but he was gentle with you. And he brought you to a place where you're useful. And God's found a purpose in your life and where he's been useful and how you've been a testimony. And I could go to several people here and say the same thing, but I just want you to know that other people, you know, yesterday Cameron had a birthday party over at a cabin that he built, and I was looking at all the things that he'd built over there and admiring it. And I was thinking how much influence he's even had in these young boys' life, and you don't even know it, Brother Junior. But look here. That's because God treated you gentle. He's made you great. And I know you look and you say, well, I'm not great. But the word great here that David's talking about, he's made you useful. And he did that by bringing you along and teaching you some lessons. And he's taught you some valuable lessons, and he gave you some wisdom that you've gained along the way because you've seen how God acted. And so therefore, the Bible teaches us that we are to be forbearing with one another in love. In other words, that we're not to judge each other so harshly. The Bible says charity covereth what? A multitude of sins. That means that when I look in somebody's life and you say, well, look at so-and-so, look what they've done, and boy, you just give up on them. Boy, I'm glad God didn't do that with me. I want to finish my life and be useful. But there was many times in my life, just as in David's life, God could have said, through with him. Let me just deal with this guy and get this guy out of my way. Boy, I'm so angry at what you did, David. And yes, David paid a price for what he did. But you know the marvelous thing about it, Brother Porter? You turn over that New Testament, and everything you read about David, not one word is ever said. You know why? There come a time in David's life where he fell upon his face before God because God's gentleness worked with him and brought him to a place where he repented because he recognized the love of God, and God began to deal with his mind and his will, and God began to affect all the different attributes of his soul, and he began to fall upon God, and he said, Lord, restore to me the joy of thy salvation. And God forgave him. And when God forgave him, he cast his sin as far as the east is from the west. Yes, his son died. And yes, he saw the sword not depart out of his family. And he had to suffer many things because of it. But he died, and he got to the end of life, and he looked back and he said, boy, God, through his gentleness, God's made me great. He's allowed me to be used. And so what I want you to understand is this. Be very careful as we are to show attributes of God. Be very careful when we are quick to judge somebody else. Be very careful when we're not willing to pick somebody up that has fallen. Be very careful when we're not willing to forgive somebody because of something that they have done. Be very careful because it is our gentleness that wins them. It's not our hard line with things. If God had drawn hard lines, David had been left out in the cold. And David looked back and he said this. He said, through the Lord's greatness, or through the Lord's gentleness, I have been made great. And tonight I read that verse and I got thinking about it. Both of those scenes. Because most of the time you don't read about man being great. And you don't read about God being gentle. And they seem to be a contradiction. And I got thinking about it. But listen, through God's gentleness, it's what makes us all useful in God's purpose and in his kingdom. So maybe tonight you're here. Maybe you're not saved and you need to come. Maybe you're here and you are saved. And you've gotten away from God, and God's dealing with you to come tonight. Would you come? The Holy Spirit of God is gently drawing you, bidding you to come. And would you come and obey him as we stand?